Good morning. Welcome to all of our visitors here at First EC. Welcome to all who are watching through Zoom, and I'm glad to see all of you who are part of the family here as well. A couple of announcements that I want to highlight from our bulletin. I want to make sure I remind you that about our 100th anniversary, first of all, keep that in mind. That's coming up very soon. Also, VBS is coming up very soon. I have created an online registration for VBS. If you go out to Facebook, if you're on Facebook, you like our, you like First EC, you should have seen something. All you got to do is click on the logo, and it'll take you to a registration. So it'd be great if a couple people are registered ahead of time. We get an idea of how many are coming. We're still working on our current website. I won't go into all the details, but we had Faith, something called Faith Life that does Proclaim and all that sort of thing. And they went away as far as for our website. So we're working on getting that done. Hopefully have that done very, very soon. But we don't have a website to go to at the moment. So that's why I used Facebook. Go out to Facebook, use the logo, click on the logo, and you can register anybody from anybody who's going into kindergarten through sixth grade. And you can get those registered. Also, I want to have a quick meeting right after church next week, just to kind of get an update on how we're doing, how we're preparing. But then on Saturday, the August 5th, I mean, that's the day before, we're going to get together, and I don't know if we'll do like a run-through, but we'll just make sure we got all our ducks in a row, we got things covered. I don't think we're going to get 100 kids coming, but if so, I mean, thank you, God, that'd be great. But still, I want to be ready, even if we only have two or three. I want to make sure we're organized, we know what we're doing, and that we're giving them the best experience possible. Also, I want to clarify this birthday thing back on the back table. I kind of explained that a little wrong last week. It is for birthdays. It is for Caring Cupboard. We are collecting through the month of July. It's not just for July birthdays. I think that's kind of what I said. It's to give as many birthday packages to Caring Cupboard as we can, and then whenever they have clients who come in and have a family member who's having a birthday, hopefully they'll have something on the shelf they'll be able to give to them then. So we'll be collecting these things all through the month of July. It's our July experience or our July ministry, and then they can use it all the rest of the year then. So I encourage you to help out, donate a piece, a portion, or a whole bag, whatever you can do to help out with getting things down to Caring Cupboard so that their clients can celebrate birthdays. Also, you see the note about the council meeting coming up August 3rd. Anybody that applies to, make sure you get your reports in. Does anybody else have anything? Oh, of course. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good morning. Our softball team has a very busy week with games Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, all at Community Bible Field. In recognition of our great fan support, both teams are hosting food and drinks on Tuesday at our game. So if you can only make one game, come Tuesday, enjoy some fun, fellowship, and softball.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. And it just kind of caught my eye. If you haven't already noticed, the doors are coming along back there, our front doors. The glasses are in. It doesn't look like they're quite finished yet, but they can at least be touched, I guess, right? If somebody wants to go back and open them or touch them or whatever. But you can see the glasses in there now, so we're almost there. It looks great. It looks a whole lot better than that plywood, right? So, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Sorry, I turned it off. The door with the hardware, with the handles, that one can be opened and closed. Still waiting on some hardware and so forth for the door on the right as you're going out. So, but yeah, they're functional at this point.
Okay. Well, maybe, yeah, don't touch, just look, just admire. And then I won't get in trouble. All right, thanks. And thank you, committee, for getting that done. And we appreciate the work that's being put into it. Does anybody have anything for the church family? Anything schedule-wise? Anything we need to remember, know about? Okay. Well, then let's prepare our hearts for worship then. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us the opportunity to be here this morning. Many of us are here with family. Some of us are here with a big family. And we just thank you that we have this opportunity, and we just thank you for the blessing of family. We're here together as one big family. And so I pray, Lord, that we would recognize that as we lift each other up and as we lift up our praises to you. We're here to worship you, Lord. And we just pray that everything that we sing, say, and do here this morning would be to your honor and to your glory. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll invite you to stand if you're able for our call to worship. I'm reading from 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29, where it says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him," even if that offering is just yourself. "Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." Let's worship the Lord with the praise band this morning.
Good morning, everyone. All right, my mic's on. That's good. Everybody ready to sing a little? Sorry, come. Now's the time to worship.
Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Willingly we choose to surrender our lives. Willingly our knees will bow. With all our time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God. Come.
kick it up a notch.
Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us. Like a fire burning, Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. That you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one.
Hey, take a moment to greet your neighbor. Hello.
Please, everyone, return to your seat.
or where you're supposed to be. Okay, we'll take a moment now to lift up any praises and prayer requests that we have. I'll leave it open, whichever kind you'd like to start with. Does anyone have a praise or a prayer request they'd like to share up top?
Quickly, before we get into that, just Brenda wanted to announce that there's various things for the anniversary. There's sign-ups in the bulletin board and different stuff like that. So check your bulletins carefully, and then check that sign-up stuff on the bulletin board for the anniversary celebration. So thanks to the committee for that. But then I do have a prayer and a praise. My grandmother did pass away this past week, so ripe old age of 103. So the services are this week, so just safe travels for everybody, and just that there's no family turmoil, which the potential is there that there could be. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else over here?
Yes. My sister-in-law, Ruth Foster, is undergoing open heart surgery on July 21st. And Georgine is kind of under the weather today. Nothing serious, but she's not up to par.
I'm thankful for the visit from all my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, some from California and some from West Virginia. This happens about every 2 years.
Okay. Yes, we're glad to see them, and I'm sure you're very glad to see them.
So I have a prayer request for the safe travels for the kids as they go up to camp, and prayers that they have a great week up there at Twin Pines. Also want to keep my sister in your prayer in prayers. She lost her husband here this week, last week, sorry.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, well then, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, first of all, we thank you for this day. We realize that every day is a gift from you. All the things that we take for granted, just the ability to take a breath, to step out of bed, and to walk around the house, all these things you provide us with the strength and the ability to do. And we thank you for caring for us and watching over us like that. We ask you to be with these people that have been mentioned. We ask for your guidance as Amy's grandmother's family, that whole family gets together and mourns the loss, but also hopefully celebrates the life of the family as it grows. We just ask, as she mentioned, that there's no turmoil, that everyone would just show love to each other and show care and compassion as they get together. We lift up Ruth Foster, know that she has heart surgery. We thank you that you're already preparing doctors and specialists to be ready to go, and we just pray that surgery would go well and be successful. We pray for Georgine, that you would heal her as well, get her over her under-the-weather condition, and that she could get back to her normal routines. We ask you to watch over the kids as they go to camp this week. Watch over them as they travel. Watch over them while they're there. We also ask you to work in their hearts, that they would recognize you while they're there. They would see you, know you better, know you more clearly. And we ask you to be with Dave's family as his sister has lost her husband. We just ask that you'll be with that whole family and comfort them through their loss as well. We thank you for the rain. There was a time when we were begging for rain. And now we seem to be getting a lot of it and some of it all at one time. We just thank you. You're in control. Whatever you feel we need, you're going to provide for us. So we thank you. We thank you for the way it has made our lawns green and our flowers more colorful. I just ask that you will protect us, watch over us. Let us be smart as these rains come, and sometimes it creates conditions where we need to be careful. And we just thank you again that you're watching over us in every little detail of our life. We thank you for providing for us, giving us income in whatever form that might be, and we give a portion back as our offering. We ask you to accept that offering and to bless it and to use it in whatever way you feel is appropriate. Your will be done. Use it to further your kingdom and your church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you three now? Okay, well, we think I had mentioned that I would be doing something a little different going into the summer. Instead of our normal expository preaching, reading, getting into a book of the Bible and going verse by verse, through the summer here, I want to try to have a little fun, but also share the Bible with you in a whole different way. And so we're going to try a few new things through the next couple of weeks. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are a lot of people these days who think they are better than everyone else. They think they've got it all together, and because of all that, they think they don't need God. We talked about the truth last week, and we have the truth of God's love and power. All of us have it showing up in front of us as we look around the world. But there are people living with this truth for years, right there in front of them, and they never seem to get it. People living with their brains on hold and their passions on high. And in the book of Proverbs, Solomon was very direct. He called these people fools. I'm going to use a more contemporary term, as long as it's not a word that's considered a bad word in anybody's household. I'm going to call them jerks. Is jerk a bad word with anybody? I don't want to use that word if it's not allowed. Have kids go home and, well, the pastor said it. So as long as it's an acceptable word, we're going to use that word. Jerks are everywhere. Down the street, on your sports team, the team you play or a team you root for. They're in your club, they're at your school. They can be at your church. Could be in your pew. Maybe even in your mirror. And believe it or not, the Bible is also loaded with jerks. Some of them were people who were called by God and even used by God, but their attitude really stinks. Others are godless and unbelieving from start to finish. Some have learned about God for years, but can't see past themselves to put the truth into practice. And a few smarten up before it's too late, but most of them follow the path of sin and end up in the gutter or worse. The jerks of the Bible all have major character flaws that contribute to their ruin. So getting to know these jerks and their sins is a good way for us to learn to avoid the same mistakes. So we're going to spend a few weeks learning about famous jerks of the Bible. Each week we'll get the opportunity to hear one of these jerks tell his story. And then you have the chance to figure out what this person did wrong, what the Bible had to say about it, and how you can head in a different direction. Now, each of the jerks we're going to hear from had a chance to change. Most of them chose not to. As we hear about their lives, let's recognize our own weaknesses that we see in these famous jerks of the Bible. Now, these characters won't be quoting verse by verse from the Bible. They'll be recounting their story in a summarized fashion. But we'll always have the book and the chapters that I'm referring to up on the screen here. And you know how much I like songs, so each week I'll try to find a song that can be used as the theme song for that week's jerk. So this week we're going to start right at the top with royalty. Today's jerk is King Nebuchadnezzar. And his theme song is, "You're So Vain." I should have tried a dress rehearsal. And rumor has it, thank you, that Nebuchadnezzar was just in love with hamburgers, and so they nicknamed him the Burger King. It's not documented anywhere, it's just a rumor, but yes, I am a king. I used to be a vain, proud, and a conceited king. I was a hard-headed king, but the Lord just kept working on me. Now, I do still have some problems with my inflated ego, but at least I finally recognized who's the boss. I am King Nebuchadnezzar, but you can call me Neb. The rest is a little hard to pronounce, and it's a lot harder to spell. And please, don't ever do that to your children. No child should ever have a name that's five syllables long. I am from Babylon. A few years ago, my army attacked the city of Jerusalem, and we took possession of it. I asked my chief officer to round up the smartest, the healthiest, the classiest young Jewish men he could find and bring them back to Babylon. So that's what he did. Oh, and we found some real winners. There are four that I particularly remember. But the first thing we had to take care of was to do something about their names. We needed to honor our gods instead of the Hebrew God, so we changed their Hebrew names to Babylonian names. They called themselves Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, Daniel in Hebrew means God is my judge. So we changed that to Belteshazzar, which means Bel's one of our gods. Bel, protect his life. That's what that means. Hananiah in Hebrew means the Lord shows grace. So we changed that one to Shadrach, which means command of Aku. Aku is our moon god. Mishael, which means who is like God, we changed that one to Meshach, which means who is as Aku. Again, our moon god, Aku. And Azariah means the Lord is my help. So we changed his name to Abednego, which means servant of Nego. Again, one of our gods. Now, for some reason, the Babylonian name stuck for three of them, but you probably don't recognize Belteshazzar, so I'll just refer to him as Daniel so you know who I'm talking about. Now, we thought these guys were a little quirky at first. We tried to keep them healthy with our best food and our finest wine, but they refused. They refused to eat our good food. All they wanted was vegetables and water. But I'll tell you what, after 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than anybody who ate the royal food. In fact, they looked so good, we took the meat and the wine away from everybody else and fed them vegetables. Hey, I can live with a vegetarian as long as he's a smart vegetarian. And that's what these guys were. They were extremely smart. We put all the young Jewish men through the best training possible, a 3-year class that would teach them how to think and live as Babylonians. And after the 3 years of training, Daniel and his three friends, they stood head and shoulders above the rest. I tested them myself, and I was very impressed. They were 10 times better than any of the magicians and the enchanters in my whole kingdom. And the one called Daniel could even interpret dreams. Now, this is important to remember. Daniel understood dreams, and his three friends were brilliant. You need to remember this to realize just how stupid I was. You see, I started having dreams. Not your pleasant dreams like where you see a long-lost relative or something like that. These dreams were weird, and they really bothered me. I couldn't get any sleep. Ruling a kingdom is hard enough when you've had your beauty rest, but after a few all-nighters, the stress can really get to you. So, being an intelligent king who just recently hired a couple of geniuses to work for me, you would think that I would ask Daniel and his friends for help, right? Wrong. What did I do? I called the old magicians to come and help me. Not just the magicians, but also the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers. I thought I was covering all my bases. Boy, what a mistake. I told them I was having problems sleeping, that I was having a dream that kept me awake, and that I wanted to know what it means. And they said, well, sure, tell us your dream and we'll tell you what it means. I said, you know what? Let's do this a little bit differently this time. You tell me what my dream was, and you tell me what it means. And if you can't do what I'm asking, well, then I'll just cut you into pieces and destroy your homes. But if you can tell me the dream, and you can tell me what it means, well, I'll give you all kinds of gifts, and I'll give you great rewards and great honor. And, you know, they asked me again, tell us your dream, we'll tell you what it means. But I stuck to my request. I said, nope, you tell me what I dreamed, and then interpret it. And you know what they did? They looked at me and they said, you're crazy. That's impossible. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among humans. Well, I'll tell you what. I was already stressed out from not having any sleep, and as king, I am not accustomed to dealing with that kind of criticism. So I decided to have the whole lot of them killed. All of them, all my wise men, and even those four Hebrew brainiacs. Now think about it. Not only was I going to eliminate the incompetent ones, I was also going to kill off my only hope of ever getting an answer to my dream problem. What was I thinking? I think my crown must have been squeezing my brain a little too hard. Well, fortunately, Daniel came to me with an idea. He said, "Excuse me, Your Majesty. If you wouldn't mind putting down your spear and sending your henchmen away for a few minutes, I have a favor to ask. This dream mystery that the whole kingdom is buzzing about, do you think your friends and I could take a whack at it before you whack off our heads?" Oh, Daniel, he was such a kidder. It was a long shot, but hey, I was desperate. My sorcerers had said that only the gods could interpret dreams, so they were no help. But maybe my vegetarian friend had connections. And oh man, did he have connections. Daniel told me all about my dream, and he told it in such detail, it was almost like I was listening to a rerun. He said, "I saw a huge statue," yep, "made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay," in that order, yep, "from top to bottom. A huge rock smashed the statue," yep, "which blew away in the wind," yep, "and the rock grew." That was it. That was the dream exactly. He got every part of it right. Turns out the meaning of the dream was very prophetic. It was telling the future of different kingdoms. Now, the part I liked the most was about me being the golden head, endowed with dominion, power, and might. Yes, sir. And you know what? Daniel got a promotion for that one, with a few luxury items thrown in, and I put his three buddies in charge of Babylon's business. And I actually said something pretty smart when all this happened. I said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings." Unfortunately, I wasn't smart enough to let him be the Lord of this king. With barely a verse in between to catch my breath, I decided to make a 90-foot statue of yours truly, for all to see, for all to admire, and this part's embarrassing, for all to worship. So after all the hoopla and the fanfare, every living soul was commanded to bow down to this shiny hunk of metal and adore it. And anybody who didn't worship my metal likeness would be thrown into a blazing furnace. Everybody went along with the plan. Well, almost everybody. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they just flat out refused to bow. I was furious. I tried to reason with them. No God is worth frying for, right? But those gutsy boys, they stood their ground. They looked me square in the eye and they said that their God was able to deliver them. And as if that wasn't enough, they said it really didn't matter because they would keep on loving him anyway, even if he let them roast. That made no sense. I lost it. Let them be torches then. Well, I'm sure you've heard the story. I was wrong again and God was glorious again. Now, not just glorious, he was miraculous. He was awesome, astounding. That furnace had been heated 7 times hotter than usual. And these guys were dressed up in their formal attire. They wore robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes for the occasion. Well, they were tied up by my strongest men and thrown into the flames. And the furnace was so hot that it killed the guards who threw them in. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made it into the furnace and back out again without singeing so much as an eyebrow. Not only that, but while they were in there, they were even comfortable enough to entertain guests. When we looked at the blaze, we saw that there was a fourth man in there walking around. He looked like a son of the gods. And all four of them were just walking around as if they were taking a stroll in the park. Well, I learned my lesson. Almost. We called them out of the furnace, and I praised their God. I even gave them credit for showing the good sense to stand up to me. And that was more than just a little bit humbling. But believe it or not, I didn't stay humble for very long, or any smarter for that matter. I had another weird and wonderful dream, so it would make sense to share it with Daniel and his fireproof buddies, right? I called on those old magicians and sorcerers again, and at least they were consistent, because they failed again. So when none of them could tell me what my visions meant, I finally turned to my last resort, the dream expert with the heavenly hotline. The result was pretty shocking. But believe it or not, God was giving me another chance. He sent a dream to warn me that if I didn't get over this love affair that I had with myself, I did something. He was going to take away my position, my power, and even my dignity. He said that I would live outside like an animal for 7 years. I would act like a cow. I would have cow friends. I would eat grass like a cow. And I would get wet. I would grow my hair out like feathers. My nails would grow out like claws. That's all very disgusting. But all I had to do was to admit that God was bigger than I am, and that whole thing would just be a dream. That's simple enough. Unless you have a big ego like mine. Yeah, one day, as I was looking out over the city of Babylon, I was feeling pretty good about myself, and I said something like, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Oh, man. The words were barely off my lips when the dream came true. "Your Royal Highness became a local lowness in no time flat." I found myself under a tree, chewing weeds and growing my fingernails and getting wet and getting cold, but getting what I deserved. You know, it took a lot of mistakes on my part and a load of miracles on God's part, along with 7 years in a pasture with my barnyard bingo buddies, to realize that I am not number one. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." So Nebuchadnezzar had a problem with humility. I've heard a phrase that I think applies to him. The phrase goes like this: "He's a self-made man in love with his maker." But doesn't that resonate with a lot of us as well? Aren't we encouraged by society to be all we can be and then let everybody else know about it? We see some of our athlete models who are always beating their chest, or they're pointing to the back of their uniform so that you see their name for sure, or even some of the antics that they do on the field to bring attention to the fact that they did something wonderful. Do you remember the Mac Davis song from a few years back? "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Now that's in your head, you're welcome. The only perfect example that we have of humility, along with every other virtue, is, of course, Jesus Christ himself. He alone was truly humble in ambition, in attitude, and in action. So just very quickly, I'm going to take a look at Philippians 2, chapters 3 through 7, to see if we can get some clues about how to be humble in ambition, attitude, and actions. Let's start with ambition. Verse 3 tells us to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Let me read that again. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Does that sound anything like getting ahead or looking out for number one? What about your ambition? Are you using the gifts that God has given you to promote yourself, or using them to serve God by serving others? The second part of that verse itself addresses attitude as well, where it says, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Can you imagine if every single person, all 7.5 billion or whatever the number is now, was only thinking about others and the concern of others? What a planet this would be. Verse 7 talks about the way Christ just used this humble attitude as well. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. What is a servant? Someone whose sole purpose is to meet the needs of another person, right? Someone who sacrifices his own comfort and reputation for that of someone else. And in Jesus' case, somebody who sacrificed the very superior role and honor that he deserved to rescue very unworthy human beings. How do you compare to what this is telling us? Do you look out for other people's interests? Do you make a conscious effort to meet others' needs? And I think this means going beyond just willing to help if somebody calls and asks you. I think it's talking about knowing people well enough and being connected well enough that we know when someone needs something, even before they ask. How about this? Do you go out of your way to make other people look good? That's just not the American way, is it? Because I feel like if I'm going to make someone else look good, that makes me look bad. It doesn't have to be that way. How much would you be willing to give up to help somebody else? There was a story of an accomplished pianist who gives a picture of humility. She was very often sought after to perform piano solos, but she preferred to accompany soloists, vocal soloists, as they presented great songs of worship and praise in church. And she said her goal was to play so well that the singer would sound better, the song would be more meaningful, and that she would go unnoticed. Ask yourself, do you do the things you do so that you will be heard and seen? If so, you're so vain. Or do you do the things you do so that others will be heard and seen and appreciated? If that's true, then you're so godly. Which label would you rather carry? Let's pray. Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that we find in it, even when it makes us uncomfortable. We thank you that you have provided us with stories of people who we can learn from. We thank you that some of them, like in this case, have turned from their ways, have taken your warnings, even after several tries, but they do change their lives. Father, I pray that you'll make us aware of any of these situations in our heart. I'd ask you to burst our ego bubble. Help us to be more humble. Help us to look for ways to help others rather than just helping ourselves. It's not in our human nature to do that, so we know we need your help, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close by singing our final hymn, number 43. So as you leave here and go out to the mission field, remember you are not the center of the universe. Go out and take a look, as we just sang, of all of the creation around, just how big our Creator is and just how small we are, but that He still loves us. So go with that love and share that love as you look to put others' interests above your own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.